Man, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Daniel chapter 2. Book of Daniel chapter 2. It's an honor and a privilege to stand behind the pulpit tonight here at this church. This church has been a blessing to me since I've been here. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the leadership here. I'm thankful for the Word of God and that we can get together and pray and bring our requests and leave them in the hands of a God that can do what we can't. And when we hold on to those things, then we hinder the Lord in our life working. But in the book of Daniel chapter 2, I want to read a few verses here, and then I want to pull a phrase out of it. Look with me in verses 1 and verse 2. Where the Bible says in Daniel 2, verse 1, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the musicians, the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. Let's drop down into verse 28. This is where we'll take our text from tonight. Verse 28, it says, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the day you've given us once again for the opportunity to come to your house tonight. And Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity to bring our needs to you. Lord, to know that you're there to meet those needs and be with us, Lord, in every aspect of our life, if we'll allow you. And I pray, Lord, that you would just be with the request that was mentioned, Lord, the troubles and trials that folks are going through, the loss that are there in our families and those that are out of your will. I pray that you'd meet the needs as only you can. And yet tonight, Lord, we stand before you as a congregation, Lord. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. Speak through these lips of clay tonight as I attempt to convey, Lord, what you've laid on my heart. I pray, God, that you would speak through me and that your Spirit would anoint the message tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The phrase I want to pull out is in verse 28. It says, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth the secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. That phrase, but there is a God in heaven, that's a comforting phrase to me tonight. That jumps out of that passage of Scripture and just thrills my heart to know that I've got a God that'll answer the prayers that we pray. A God that sees the trouble before we even ask. And you know, He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knew every trial and every tribulation that we've ever went through in our life. He's known about it. And He's been there before us and He's carried us through each thing that's come our way. I've heard people bring requests for their loved ones, burdened about their loved ones, burdened about their families. And I think about this passage of Scripture. It says there in verses 1, it says, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Now, there was a lot going on with Nebuchadnezzar. He had seen some things in a dream that troubled him. And, you know, it wouldn't take the Christian long to look around in the world that we live in and begin to get troubled about some things. I think about trying to raise children in the day and age that we live in. That's a troubling thought, but it can be done if we follow this. If we follow this Word of God, and if we listen to the counsel that it has, it can be done. We can raise a godly generation for the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the day we live in. We see that Nebuchadnezzar was troubled. And you know what I think is the problem with a lot of so-called Christianity, so-called churches today, is that they don't really get troubled about anything. Anything can walk in the door. Anything can stand in the pulpit. Anything can be preached. Just preach what you feel and get along with everything and everybody. And nobody's troubled about nothing today. But there is some things that we ought to be troubled about. There are some things that we should be concerned about because not everybody is doing right in this world we live in. And you know, not everybody is our friend. And God has told us that we need to lean on Him. We need to find counsel in Him. One of the things I want to look at in this passage of Scripture is where King Nebuchadnezzar went to first to get his counsel. Look in Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. It says, first of all, it says that he was troubled in verse 1. The second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled. We ought to be troubled about some things. He was so troubled that his sleep broke from him. Now, I don't know if you've ever been that troubled about anything, but I have been troubled that much about some things. I've sat and pondered about some things and began to get troubled. But then I realized what it says on down in verse 28. There is a God in heaven that can help us with any problem that we face. We don't have to sit and wring our hands and spend the night worrying about things. But I tell you, it would do the child of God to get concerned enough that they would be able to spend some time in prayer and get on their face before God that can do something in their life. It would do us all good to get that troubled. But what we really need to realize is we need to leave those things in the hands of the Lord. You know, God may have us to do some things in certain situations, but ultimately, when it comes to the heart of man, when it comes to changing the heart of man, only God can change the heart of a person. You know, I can want a person to get right all I want. I can pray and pray for somebody to get right, but that's as far as I can go right there. But that person has to be willing in their heart to get right with the Lord. But it says here that he was troubled, even that his sleep broke from him. And he got so concerned about this dream that he called the astrologers. Now, it's been preached here before, I'm sure, and I know it. I've heard it preached. But we need to be careful where we go to get our counsel. You know, I'm going to go to a God in heaven that knows the beginning from the end. I'm going to trust in a God that knows my every tomorrow and everything that's going to come to me tomorrow, He already knows. I don't have to go to an astrologer. I don't have to get up in the morning. I don't even take a paper, really, to tell you the truth. I don't have to get up in the morning and read my horoscope to find out what's going to happen to me tomorrow. I don't need to look to Dear Abby or any of those. I don't even know if Dear Abby's still working. But anyway, they used to get their advice from Dear Abby or any of these other psychologists out here. I don't need necessarily to go to that realm to get my advice. I've got all the advice I need right here in the Word of God, and so do you. I tell you, if we did more looking into this than trying to figure things out on our own, we'd be a lot better off. We'd have a lot more peace. We'd have a lot more joy in our life if we would just listen to what thus saith the Lord and get our counsel from the right people. You say, who's the right people? The Word of God is the right book. Good godly counsel from the man of God is good counsel. You know, it's good to have a good friend that sharpens iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. But ultimately, you can get the best answers you need on your face before God. If you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no reason why you can't get the answers you need. I'm not against counsel. I have counseled. I have been counseled. I enjoy speaking about the Bible. I enjoy trying to figure things out through the Word of God. But I'll tell you what, some of the best answers I've ever got was on my face before an Almighty God. The same God that the book of Daniel talks about. There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king what shall be in the latter days. You know, he wrote in his book, all the way through the book of Revelation, telling us what's going to come upon us. In the latter days, he gave us a lot of information that we can use. And we can. He says in the book of John, let not your heart be troubled. You know, but why is it that so many of the children of God are troubled today? Why is it that so many of God's people can't have peace? I believe it's because we're going to the wrong council. I believe it's because we're finding counsel in Hollywood. We're finding counsel in psychologists that don't know anything about God. I believe that the mindset of America is that a pill will fix everything. But the thing that we need is good old-fashioned conviction. The thing we need is good old-fashioned conviction over sin and our hearts to get right and get close to God. And then we'll have the peace we need to not be troubled in these last days. We noticed he was troubled, but we noticed he sought the wrong advice at first. But thirdly, in verse 30, it says, "This secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living." This secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. Kind of goes along with what I was saying just a minute ago. I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher of the Word of God. But I really don't have any more wisdom at my fingertips than you in the pew have. A pastor of a church, you say, "Brother Burke, he's a tremendously intelligent man, and he studies those scriptures," and I agree. I praise the Lord for what I hear coming out of this pulpit, not only from Brother Burke, Brother Salim, Brother Carr, and all the others, Brother Schwartz that teaches Sunday school, tremendous teachers and preachers of the Word of God. But I'll tell you, they don't have any more of the Spirit of God than you or I have. They don't have any more of the Word of God than you or I have. They just dig into it. They just figure out and they let God lay on their heart and show them from the Word of God. You may do that in the pew. It's not like, you know, you study the history of the Catholic Church. They did not want their people to know what the Bible said. But we not only have a God in heaven, we've got a love letter from the Lord Jesus Christ, our God in heaven, that tells us the things He wants us to know about Him. It tells us how much He loves us. He tells us how we ought to live our lives so we stay out of trouble, so we can have the peace of God in our life, and so that we can show forth a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a God in heaven, and we have His book that we can hold right in our laps and know what God has to say. There is a God in heaven tonight. The Word of God is full of scriptures that show different people in the Old Testament. And like Brother Burke said, I don't want to say stories, but I want to say that there are instances and occasions where God has moved on the scene for these people throughout the Word of God. And it's not just a story. It is real life events where God has come on the scene and moved. We've experienced that in our own lives. I could go around this auditorium tonight and people could raise their hands and give testimonies of how God has moved in and done things that we could not do on our own. I stand saved. Nobody could have saved me but the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody could have brought me under conviction as a 12-year-old boy but the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm sure glad that the God in heaven got a hold of my heart at 12 years old and showed me what I needed, repentance and salvation and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad He showed me that. I'm glad He came down and was willing to do that. But how much more? This is written in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, and it talks about there being a God in heaven that shows the secrets and tells about the latter time. How much more today, as we have the completed Word of God, as the book of James says in chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him." We have the completed Word of God, which was not the case in the time of the book of Daniel, but we have in our hands God's Word. We have a God in heaven. We have His completed Word. How much better off are we today than they were in Daniel's day? But you see, in the Old Testament, as you watch God's people, you'll find that God's people of the old days are not so much unlike. We're not a lot unlike them. We kind of follow their pattern. Kind of, you see what I mean? In the Old Testament, God's people would get right with Him after chastening, and then they'd fall back, and then God would have to bring something into their life and chasten them and bring them back. And if you are God's child, He will chasten you. If you are a child of God and you know the God in heaven, you're not going to be able to live in this world comfortably and not be chastened of the Lord. But how much truer is that today? If any of you lack wisdom, doesn't just say preachers, doesn't just say pastors, doesn't just say Sunday school teachers. If any of you lack wisdom,
Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. This word of God is not, as Brother Burke has preached, not just a book of do's and don'ts, of restrictions in our life. It is a book that brings life unto us. It's a book that brings joy into our life. And what it is, it's not restrictions. It's a life with God. It's knowing about God and doing what He says. And it's something that we can put into our life, the wisdom of God, and it'll give us stability, it'll give us strength, and it'll give us peace. And it'll teach us about this God in heaven that we need to serve, that will help us in our troubled times. Now that's the thing right there. Why do Christians crumble in troubled times? Because they have not looked to the God of heaven like they should. They have not put the Word of God in. They have not trusted what the Word of God says. You know, sometimes, you know, we can know a truth about the Word of God, yet we don't always get a hold of it like we should. We don't cling to it like we ought to. And you know, you could sit there and have a nice dinner put on the table, but if you don't partake of it, then it's not going to do you any good. And it's the same way with the Word of God. If we don't partake of it, and we can read it till the cows come home, we can read that there's a God in heaven, but until we make it personal in our life, then it's not going to mean anything to us. It's not going to do anything for us. It's not going to change our life until we realize that God is talking to us from His Word. He's not. And you know, sometimes the children of God in the pew, they'll get to thinking to themselves, especially if a preacher gets to preaching on some sin and things like that, or something in the Word of God, and they'll say, "Well, he's really getting Brother so and so, or he's really stepping on Sister so and so's toes." Let's turn that towards us. There's a God in heaven that can help us, that can help us through our troubled times. And you know, if you're not in the midst of trouble now, look forward. There's going to be a time when you're going to need some strength from this book. There's going to be a time when the devil will do everything to pull the rug right out from under you and leave you flat on your back. But I tell you what, I've found when I'm flat on my back, I'm looking up. I'm looking to the right place. I'm looking where I can get some help from the Word of God. You know, we're not like some. We're not like the wicked that the Bible talks about that shall be turned into hell and every nation that forgets God. We're not like them. Praise the Lord. We've got a God in heaven that's paid the price for us. You know, we can be blessed. But there is a God in heaven, and some of the men throughout the Word of God has learned this truth and has passed it on to us. I think about Moses. He learned that at the Red Sea, that there was a God in heaven. You know, we can apply that scripture about the Red Sea in our lives. Sometimes we come up against some things that seem impossible, don't we? Sometimes we face a trial in our life that just seems impossible to overcome. We need to think back to Moses and that Red Sea. Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." You know, that's a promise. One of these days, we're not going to have to fool with this old devil anymore. We're not the one that's caused us trouble, the one that's tried to get between us and the church. You know how it is. You know, if we don't watch it, the devil will get between people in the church and cause a big stink. And you know, the devil sits back and laughs when he gets victory in that. But you know, we're not going to have to fight him after one day. When the Lord takes us out of here, we'll not have to deal with that anymore. And this Red Sea experience tells us that we may come up against obstacles, we may come up against the devil, but there is victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Exodus 14:29, it says, "But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left." It's a wonderful account of God delivering His people. You know, we need to get a hold of that. That's not just a fairy tale. You know, we can be delivered from the things we face also. Every last burden you have on your heart tonight, every last thing that you're facing that you don't think you're going to be able to overcome, a temptation perhaps, or some problem in your life that you don't think you can overcome, it's a Red Sea to you. You're there and you don't think you can cross it. Just look to the God in heaven, and He will help you get through that. Remember Moses at the Red Sea. Remember the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. They learned that in Daniel chapter 3, close to our text verse. But there is a God in heaven. It says, Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn, so the song says. And I'm glad tonight that they're a testimony to us. Those three Hebrew children are a testimony to us. That when we come up and this world tells us we have to do something, that we can stand on the Word of God when God tells us not to do something, and we can stand in faith and in security that God's going to bring us through that fiery furnace. And we face some fiery furnaces. I've been told in my born days, you're just going to find out how country I really am. In all my born days, that my boss has said, you will be at a manager's meeting on Wednesday night. I said, I am a Christian and I will be in church on Wednesday night. And they say, you need to come to those manager's meetings. I said, well, I told them this. I said, if I get out of God's will, I will not be the employee that I am now. And they allowed me to be faithful to church. And you know, if there's one thing I can say about Smythe Automotive, I'm not here to preach about them. I'm here to tell about the God that gave me a good job. And that gave me a place that'll let me serve the Lord and do the things that God would have me to do. I'm thankful for that. But that's a fiery furnace that I went through with faith that God would see me through. There's others, there's many others and things that God has brought us through that we can look back and in faith realize God did that for us. God give us those fiery furnaces to build our faith. You know, we resent the fiery furnace. We resent the fire. We resent the trial. We resent the trouble. But when we look back on it and God brings us through it, we can praise the Lord. We can realize that there was a purpose in it somehow. There was a reason for it somehow. And it is sometimes we just need to get to learn and to get faith to stand for the next time. You know, each time we overcome our fiery furnaces, each time we overcome a situation like the Red Sea, it gives us faith for the next thing that the devil will throw to us, that'll be put in our way, that'll try to stop us in our spiritual walk. But there is a God in heaven that'll help us through those things. That's what I want to encourage you to remember is the verse that we started out with. There is a God in heaven. Even though there's trouble, there's a God in heaven. Daniel learned the truth in the lion's den when they threw him in and they asked if he was all right, and it was so. When the king was exceeding glad for him and commanded that he should be taken, that he would take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Now, do you tonight believe that God can bring you through a lion's den? Do you believe tonight that God can bring you through a fiery furnace? Do you have enough faith to believe that God's going to help you stand in front of that Red Sea experience you may have or may be going through even tonight? Do you believe? That's what brought Daniel through, because he believed in his God. The God in heaven that knows the beginning from the end. You know, we worry about some of the things in this life. We worry, and I'm guilty of it too. This message is for me as well as you, but I'm just saying, we get concerned, we get worried about some things. And we realize, you know, you need to think about it like this, and I do too. We have entrusted God with our eternal soul. We've entrusted God with the fact that we are going to heaven one day. We can put our trust in Him for that. But sometimes we can't trust Him for the day-to-day things. We can't trust Him to put food on our table. We can't trust Him to bless us if we take a stand over something. We can't trust Him that He knows what's going on even when things seem out of control. He is still in control even when our lives seem out of control. I'm sure it must have seemed pretty much turmoil when Daniel got thrown into the lion's den. I'm assuming that the three Hebrew children didn't enjoy the thought of being thrown into a fiery furnace. And I'm sure there was a lot of feelings of dread when they were standing before that Red Sea. But what they had to get a hold of was some faith. What they had to get a hold of was the God in heaven that they were serving. We say we serve God. We say we trust God. But we need to dig and find out whether we really do or not. And when we come against these things, when these things come up and pop up in our life, we find out how much faith we really have. I'd encourage you tonight to gain your faith from the truth of God's Word. What gives us faith is honoring God in our life. You know, I don't have much faith. When I'm going against God, I don't have much faith that God's going to bless me. I don't have much faith that God's going to do what needs to be done. Not because of God. God doesn't change. God is faithful. God is faithful to help us. Even when He loved us when we were unlovable. He while we were yet sinners, He died for us. But we seem to lack faith when we get out of His will. But what we need to learn to do is just trust Him through those times of trouble. Daniel learned that in the lion's den. We stand before opposition a lot in the Christian life. It's not a cakewalk. It's not always a bowl of cherries. But there is joy in serving the Lord. And I heard a message this week about joy, about how if all else fails around us, if everything boils down around us, we can still have the joy of the Lord. And it is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You show me a defeated Christian, I'll show you a weak Christian. Show me a Christian that has no joy, and I'll show you a weak Christian. We need to have joy for the battle. We need to have joy for the journey that God has put us on. We learn that there is a God in heaven. And when we call upon Him, and when He calls upon us to stand for Him or to live for Him, you know, the book of Romans talks about living for Christ and presenting our bodies a living sacrifice as a reasonable service. You know, it's not unreasonable that God would expect us to serve Him. It's not unreasonable that God would expect us to give our lives for Him as He's given His life for us. But He wants us to live. And He wants us to live for Him. He wants us to give our lives to Him fully so that we can have that peace in knowing that God, there is a God in heaven and that He is there for us and our faith can be strong. But we remember that there's a God in heaven under all circumstances. When we've sinned, we know there's a God in heaven. We know there's a God in heaven. He talks in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Now, I'm glad that my forgiveness doesn't depend on my grace, because sometimes I'm not very gracious. Sometimes I fail in being gracious. But God is gracious. God extends grace and He giveth more grace in the time of trouble. I'm glad that we can grab a hold of that grace. And when there's confession of sin, there's forgiveness of sin through according to the riches of His grace. When we're in trouble and sorrow, He knows and cares enough to comfort us. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all tribulation. You know, we have to gain comfort. And you know, there's no comfort in this world. As has been preached, and you may have heard many times, this world is not our friend. And this world is not our home. A friend of the world is the enemy of God, so to speak, as the Word of God says. But we know that there's a God in heaven that is in control of our lives. When we come to the end of the way, He'll give us a home where we won't have to deal with sin. We won't have to deal with trouble. And we bless the Lord for that. But while we're here going through the trial, while we're here facing the battles that we have to face, while we're here trying to lift up the banner at Kazadale Baptist Church, at Kazadale Baptist Temple, I've got to get used to that. We have to hold up the fact that there is a God in heaven. If we do anything here at this church, it'll be because of the God in heaven. If there's anything good in Scott Mullis tonight, it's because of the God in heaven. A vessel of mercy. There's a song called "A Vessel of Mercy Is All That I Am." If you see any good in me, it's because of Him. And you know, without Him, we can do nothing. But with Him, we can move mountains. With Him, we can do the things. We can face the Red Sea. We can face the fiery furnace. We can face the den of lions. We can face what the devil would throw our way. We could face what even the Lord would call us to go through for Him. We can face those trials and tribulations and even the temptation that's out there against us.
We can face that with grace and with mercy and with love. And we can face that with the confidence in knowing that God will see us through. And tonight, if you're going through a trial, if you've got a need in your life, as we have already prayed about many of them, if there's something in your life that God needs to straighten out, allow Him to do that. Give that to God and let the God of heaven work a miracle in your life tonight. Let the God of heaven change things for His glory and His honor and His glory in your life. And I'm going to ask Pastor to come and take the service back and thank you for the kind attention. But there is a God in heaven that we can serve and that we should love and we should honor with our life, because He's there for us in the time of trouble.